Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Seattle Restaurant Podcast. My God, the sun is out and Dave is smiling and everyone's in a good mood. Dave, how we doing, brother?
Doing good, Sid.
I gotta say, like, I love this first week of nice weather. Like, it is, there's nothing like it in Seattle. Like, coming from Orange County, like, you're just fucking used to it. But, like, there's this day when, like, it's like the Seattle thaw where, like, everyone's been a dick for the last 7 months.
And it's all going to change.
And like, it did change. Like, oh, my God, what a weekend. First of all, let's talk about you. How's the Kenji effect treating you? Like, the sun and the Kenji effect.
It hit hard, man. It was like a tsunami.
Yeah.
What happened? We finished the week 50% above a normal week.
Yeah, and, fuck yeah.
Yeah, man, we sold out on Saturday. It was just like line out the door, crowds of people, nowhere to sit. It was.
Do you think it was sun? Was it Kenji? A combination?
A little bit of everything. Yeah, We're always busy on Saturdays, yeah. And then you know people are still mentioning the Kenji video,
yep.
And then the sunshine.
Yeah,
and so yeah, man, it was. And we're still running a winter crew. I mean, it's March.
Yeah.
I mean, so we're not prepared. I mean, we pulled it off, and I think we pulled it off well. So I'm really happy with the way the week went. And
what time did you sell out on Saturday?
I don't know if you saw, but the staff and I were working so hard. I saw people going down. So I hung a sign.
Yeah.
We sat the entire house and fed everybody, and then there was no one at the counter, so I put up a sign and said, give us 30 minutes till the next order so the staff can eat.
Right.
And so the staff sat down and eat. I didn't. I went to the dish pit and knocked out some dishes. But in that time, a line formed.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And it kept going. And so by the time that 30 minutes was up, we had this – like another crowd, and when they hit,
so there's like your bear moment.
When they hit, yeah. I'm like, fuck, man. By the time we're getting into this line, like we're just done.
Right.
So I hung the sold out signs.
Right. Fuck. Great. It's funny. I don't know if you have the same feeling like as me. Like, how do you feel about when you're getting closer to selling out? Do you feel like you're leaving money on the table, or like is it just the process?
Well, what's funny is we sold out like maybe we closed 2 hours early because of selling out, and we still finished the day 40% above average. So,
right. Yeah.
I mean, and I met my goals. Like every day I have a goal. I want to make this much money today. And I met that goal.
Right.
And I mean, there's just nothing you could really do. I had a large to-go order going out on Sunday. So I had to make sure I had enough product to fulfill my promise to these people. And baby back ribs day.
Right.
So I still had a lot of food to get there early on Sunday and do it again. So I just, you know,
I
counted my ducks and called it good.
I as a one man show with Kutu, it's like a really awful feeling. At like 2 o'clock at the farmer, like the Fremont Market that closes at 4, when like that line forms and you're like, dude, I'm running out so soon.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna be the idiot that's closed while everyone else is making money. And like it's just this anxiety thing because I actually fucking nailed it on my amounts. But someone, actually two people that know a lot about selling out on food trucks. Real quick, I want to introduce my guests over here on my left, a good friend of mine for a couple years now, Hugo from Mariacha Birria E Tacos. What's up, brother?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Thanks for hanging out and listening to us spiel about our week. So real quick, you started as a truck, and now you have a restaurant.
I started as a cart.
I
started as a pop-up.
Okay.
Just a stove, three pots, selling tamales. And then
legal
that,
or not legal?
Legal. Well, illegal for 2 months.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I got to get my stuff together. So, yeah, after that, ended up buying a cart. And then I did that for 2 years. Then I got a trailer. And then now I have a restaurant.
I fucking love this story.
That's awesome.
Similar story on my right. Johnny from, Napkin Friends, Mostly's Deli, and now The Pantry. Johnny, how we doing, brother?
I'm doing well.
My neighbor and fellow Loyal Heights parent. You know, it's funny. Right now, you're working at The Pantry and teaching classes, but I really, really want to have you on because I think you have such a great story and there's some fun stuff to learn. Johnny, why don't you just introduce yourself and tell us who you are for the people that don't know.
Johnny Silverberg. Like Sid said, I owned Napkin Friends Food Truck and Schmaltzy's Deli. Started the truck late 2013. Worked it a while.
Has it been that long?
I know. God. It's been a while. It was a lot of fun.
I hate to say it. Like, I still feel like Napkin Friends is like one of the new guys. Like, that's how old I feel.
It's I know, but it's not now.
It's been a decade. Yeah.
And parlayed it into a restaurant, Jewish Deli, unfortunately opened November 2019, which was not the best timing. No. But now, you know, doing something else.
Yeah. So I'm going to bounce back to Hugo. So you start the car. Food truck, restaurant. Restaurant opened what? Like how long ago?
It opened 22.
22.
So September 2022.
And I haven't made it up there to the restaurant yet. But by the way, have you said
what neighborhood?
It's in Everett.
We haven't even mentioned that. Sorry. Yeah
Everett. It's in Everett.
And we actually met because me and Stephen Ono used to do a TV show for the Snohomish Tourism Board, and we had someone that's kind of booked us restaurants and food trucks and stuff. And I think you're like the second or third episode we did. And actually, I remember one of my favorite ones was because we mostly did restaurants, and I was like kept on pushing for like food trucks. So they finally let me do a food truck. I was fucking stoked, and the food was amazing. But yeah, I remember that was like quarantine. That was like
quarantine.
That was 2020. So you decided to open a restaurant after quarantine. And how's it been going? I see the pictures. It's banging. Like,
I mean, it's awesome, man. I mean, you know, I miss the food truck life just because I miss going out. But I feel like my life is more stable with a restaurant.
I know it sounds
crazy, to
Johnny.
Say that.
Johnny, how did you? What were you
actually the opposite?
You like the food truck, or you like the? What do you like better?
Nostalgic for it, I think is where I'm at.
Yeah.
It's like when everything was small. Right. And like simple and you know, controlled, and it was just kind of like I just have this rosy colored view.
It was a different city back then too.
True. The vibe was a little different for sure early on. So
I'm on Johnny's side, like for now. Like I don't think I can do it. I can't stay in the same place, but like, you know, you have family, you have, I understand, like, I will say, I had an opportunity. Someone hit me up, and they're like, hey, we're a bar, and we're looking for someone to take over our kitchen, and I, for like half a second, I was like, man, it'd be so nice to not load in, load out.
I think about
every
you
day.
All the time when shit comes up like that.
What?
Like, when I see a brick or mortar, I'm like, man, that'd be pretty good. Maybe I should send this a sip.
I need the excitement. I need to
I don't feel like you're there yet, but I feel like you will get there eventually.
If I break a leg or, you know, turn old or start becoming old or whatever. So real quick, did you get rid of the truck and the trailer and everything?
I sold everything. Sold the trailer to be able to get the restaurant.
Got it.
Yeah,
cool,
man.
So how's it been going? Like, what's the lessons you've learned since opening a restaurant, transferring from cart to restaurant?
It's a lot more busier. Mm-hmm. You know, where I think we're doing almost like 500 pounds of beef.
Jesus.
Almost every week. And it's just, and we're only open 5 days a week, 11 to 8, and then on the weekends, 11 to 9.
Okay.
So it's been, I mean, it's been awesome, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, now, like, but I think what I'm, like I say, I do miss the truck just because I miss going out, I miss seeing people, like, and at the restaurant, I'm saying hi, you know, but I think I miss the fun of the
going
whole,
out.
Yeah,
and
man.
It's a vibe.
But, like you said, I have kids, I have my wife. My wife does, she's a co-owner as well, too, you know, so... my life feels more stable now, being able to like right now I went to go take my kids to school, you know, and all that stuff.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
So, and before it was 5 a.m. all the way till 12 a.m.
Oh,
with the truck, man.
Yeah,
so,
trucks are a lot of work.
Yeah,
and anything can happen. You can be like, all right, man, we got a great service today. You get in the truck and it's like, oh, flat tire.
Yeah.
No service today.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah, everything, bro. The electricity. We had a truck that
totally,
electricity.
Dude. Generator.
Yeah. There was one to where we came to sell in Seattle. And our gas pipe broke. I miss that though. I'm not gonna lie.
I know, for sure. I'm glad I lived it, man. But I'm also glad it's fucking over.
I know.
Johnny, exactly. Got any road stories that you remember from the truck?
Yeah, I mean, all that stuff is the same. It's like, you know, the difference between the restaurant. If like your one piece of equipment breaks in the restaurant, like you can work around it.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, your generator breaks. It's like you're not only down like that day. You might be down 3-4 days because the person that you want to find to repair that generator, they're not very stable themselves. Right. It's like
the generator,
you know,
guy
the
is
generator
never
guy
stable.
Is, right. He's not the most reliable
it's
human
it.
Being. So. Yeah. So it's like, oh man, I might not get this guy for 4 days and I'm totally boned.
What was the restaurant a natural thing? Did it come up? Like you're ready to hang up the truck? What was the story?
Well, I think when we started the truck, the goal was always to get to a restaurant as a restaurant person myself.
Yeah. What's that mean?
I started in 99, went to culinary school, kind of went really traditional fine dining route, but realized that that wasn't the type of cook I was.
I'm sorry, was this in Seattle?
No, well, I grew up in the Phoenix area, okay. So it's like Scottsdale Culinary Institute.
Yeah.
Moved to Seattle like 2007, worked for Lee Stupar Catering, oh, okay. Pomegranate Bistro on the east side, and you know, ran kitchens and wanted my own thing from the get. And the food truck scene was like, you know, starting to really kind of like come up, you know, 2010, 2011. Yeah. So worked our way to get to that, but always wanted the restaurant. Didn't know what it was going to be. And then just driving around town and talking to people, and we were doing Jewish food, realizing that the deli scene was just like non-existent.
Yeah. I do want to put a pause on, can you explain what your food truck was and what the dish was?
Yeah. So we made latke press sandwiches. Latkes are like kind of like Jewish hash browns, essentially, mm-hmm. is the easiest way. And so we made these round, kind of like hamburger size sandwiches, and made our own pastrami and like put them on the panini machine and press them down so they get crispy and
sounds
gooey.
Delicious.
Yeah. So it's big eating, you know, big eating. We did really well at breweries, not so much like, you know, Amazon lunch.
Yeah.
You know, but it was.
But because it was gluten free, right?
Gluten free.
Yeah. So
yeah, gluten free, you know, and that just kind of like naturally happened. We didn't create it that way, but we were able to substitute rice flour for the AP flour for binding it, and it was the same product.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then, those were great at breweries. I remember, like, I would sometimes see Chuck's, and they're great
That's at every meal.
Yeah.
I mean, breakfast, lunch, dinner, right there.
Yeah. And then, so you got the keys, and so how was opening that spot?
Well,
how long did that take open?
We started looking for the restaurant in 2017.
Right.
And looked all over town, kind of figured, and then we found a space that was going to be near the breweries, mm-hmm. like near the Ballard Breweries, where we did our best business. And the building didn't exist yet. And so we decided to like sign up with a building that was being built,
right.
which was a good thing and a bad thing. And it was a smaller group of people. And it just took probably almost a year longer than it was supposed to.
I don't even know what that means. When you say it took a year, are you paying rent? Like,
no.
You're just waiting.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're just like, we didn't have to start paying rent until they got their certificate of occupancy.
Got it. But so are you still doing the truck then? Or
so the truck was still going. We were doing our commissary. You know, we were in West Seattle with the commissary. Fortunately, like, we were able to get into our new space like right before they closed the bridge or that would have been a change. But yeah, it's just like, anybody who's and knows anything about dealing with the city, it just takes the permits, you know, getting people to inspect things, just like everything has to go through so many different steps.
Right.
And then if you miss one of those windows, then you got to wait another month or two for them to come back out. You know, it's just a pain in the ass.
Yeah. And so real quick, you're probably like, hey, why are there two people that don't own Seattle restaurants on this podcast today? I think the tale of your deli, is really important to me because it's all your stuff was house-made, every single thing. Why was that important to you?
Well, that's what deli is, like, truly. It's like, you know, you go to a spot like that, it's meant to be made in front of you, sliced in front of you. You know, it's an interactive experience.
Right.
This history of Jewish delis on the East Coast. And so we wanted to bring some of that to Seattle while not trying to do exactly that,
right.
I guess is kind of what's that. So that's the goal, but and I think it was an attainable goal at the time, but I don't necessarily think it's an attainable goal now.
What do you think? And so how long was that restaurant open for?
So we opened in November 2019. We decided to close. It was the end of the summer of 2023.
Okay, also.
No, 2022. Sorry, 2022.
And what, I mean, other than quarantine, like what, we've had this conversation before. Mm-hmm. What do you think the biggest hurdle of staying open was?
I think it was, we were trying to do three things out of that space. Like, that was our goal. We were going to do the deli, mm-hmm. the revenue from the deli, the revenue from the truck, mm-hmm. and revenue from catering. And that was how it was going to work, essentially, was bringing in those three things in one space. It would never have worked if it were just a deli, because it's just, you just can't generate enough revenue. And when COVID happened, you know, it took away the catering, like that mm-hmm. completely disappeared.
Yep.
I didn't have anybody to run the food truck, myself and my, you know, right-hand guy. You know, we needed to be at the space.
Right.
So the truck stopped going out.
Yep.
And so all of a sudden now we just have this one space where if you're making everything in-house and then the cost of all the goods went up and the labor is pretty rough.
Yep.
You know, so we had a great group of people, but anytime we needed to add somebody, it was a total fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
And so it just was like this compounding thing. And now, you know, when we decided to close in that summer, it was just like, well, yeah, I mean, the cost of goods has stabilized a little bit, but it's still like 40% more than it was. And I can't charge somebody $30 for a pastrami sandwich. They'll lose their fucking mind, even though that's what I would need to charge you in order for it to actually work.
I mean, I think this is what we keep on touching on.
That's an ongoing conversation. I mean, people are doing it, and it, a lot of people are too scared to charge
what they need
the
to.
Worth
and
what they deserve for their product.
How does
I don't think it's scared. It's just people don't come out, man. You know, when I was a truck, I could charge high prices, you know, because I was only open a certain time. And, you know, people wanted it. Now that I'm open longer times, I have to figure out how I'm going to do with a lunchtime, how I'm going to do with dinner time, you know? So I have deals that are going on. I'm like, our most popular, I do birria. Is like this braised brisket that we do. We cook it for almost like 4 hours. There's different spices on it, man. But we do like a lunchtime special. So like our specialty is like queso tacos, which is like a crisp tortilla with cheese on it. And then you put brisket on it and all that stuff.
Yeah,
so we sell like, you know, we sell them for like $11 for an order of three.
Yeah.
And then for dinner, we sell them for $13.
Yeah.
Come with a consomme, which is like a kind of like an au jus broth and all that stuff.
By the way, this is also ever pricing. So like,
I went to
Chops in Everett.
Oh my God,
And I remember like it's one of my favorite places, but like we got the bill and it's, you know, like it was like $11. I'm like, what? Something's wrong. Oh yeah, we're in Everett. I forgot.
It's $13 for an insane burrito.
Insane. Shout out to Chops.
Well, I feel like with pastrami, there's so much work and labor that goes into.
I gotta let you know, I went to your place. Yeah. I loved it, man.
Thank you.
That place was so good, dude.
And I think that's what's sad, because I think you're not gonna find many people that didn't say they loved it. You know.
We didn't close because we weren't busy. We had lines.
Just the math couldn't make sense.
It's just when you're making bagels, you're making lox, you're making all the bread, you're doing everything, you need people.
Yeah.
And you know, and I want my people to, you know, make money and have a, you know, enjoy their lives and everything like that. But it's just like we were at the point where it's like, okay, if we're gonna keep going, we're gonna have to eliminate like front of house staff and turn this into like a kiosk, you know, order. Yeah. And that's just not deli. Like, so it was like, I don't want that. My life was different with having young kids and I couldn't live at the restaurant because, you know, I had to do all the work.
Healthy.
Everybody knows. Yeah. You got to do all the work. Like, you know, and my life was just different from when I started the food truck and it was just my wife and I, and I could dedicate, you know, 15, 16 hours a day and love it.
And you do it by yourself.
Yeah. Right. And so, it's just things change.
So, you know, if you decide to shut down the food truck, you just go park in a parking lot for a while.
Right.
When you decide to shut down the diner, not the diner, the deli, you're on the hook for the rent.
Yes. And what's kind of fucked up is actually when we closed, we were actually losing less money than when we were open.
So
at that point.
Oh my
so
God.
So let's just say that again.
Yeah.
So you're paying rent approximately in Ballard. I guess, do you mind talking about like what the rent in Ballard is?
No, the rent. So we had a big space because we had big ambitions.
Yeah.
Like, let's just be honest. We were going to do this kind of like multi-pronged thing and you know, be like a
catering takes a lot of space.
A couple million dollar a year revenue kind of $2-3 million revenue kind of space. That was our goal.
Yep.
And so we took on a big space. So the rent, like with triple net, which is just it's like all the stuff, all in garbage, you know, all the extra stuff, it was like $9,000 a month. Whoa. So it's a lot of money.
That's a lot, bro.
It's
that's
a lot. But you know, when we did our business plan and everything, it's like, okay, we can you know, you want to keep it under 10% of your, you know, total. And we had that plan and we're like, we can do that. We can make, you know, well over $100,000 a month. No problem.
Yeah. One catering could be $9,000 too. Yeah.
Right. So it made sense. But then when you get the legs cut out from you and two of your revenue streams essentially disappear, like based on where we were looking at the revenue of the deli, it just itself, we were ahead of what we were projecting from the revenue just from the space. So if we had, and the catering was starting to come back, but we needed more staff to like take on more work. And it was like, I just couldn't really find
it. Just kept on.
Yeah.
So you end up shutting it down,
yes,
laying everyone off. And then it was easier for you to hand over $9,000 a month for an empty building.
Well, I did some for a while there. We were doing just like ticketed dinners, like
once
a month, essentially, just to cover that.
Yeah.
And I would do it. I had one of my old staff. We had one back of the house person. And my wife is a front of the house person. And we would have one of our old front of the house people too. Right. So that's what we did to kind of cover. But yeah. after a while, it just became sad because you're in there and you're like, man, like this is supposed to be something else.
Yeah.
And just the, I don't think I can keep doing this in this space. So yeah, we made the decision to sell. And fortunately, we're able to do that.
Do you mind kind of breaking down some of your numbers before you had to wrap it up? Like what your labor, your food cost, like what was the percentages like? You already kind of talked about what the rent was looking like. But
yeah, I mean, the food cost was solid. You know, it was about like 26%. You know, it was good. The labor was high, obviously. You know,
it takes a lot of people to run.
Yeah, it takes a lot of people. And the late, you know, when you're lowest, you know, we were the type of restaurant that was a collection. You know, we did tip pooling.
Yep.
And so, you know, when the lowest paid employee is making like an hour, is making like $20 an hour, and then on top of tips they're making, which is great.
Yeah.
But, you know, that used to be the highest paid employee, like 3 years, like really 4 quick. Years ago. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's, the labor was high. It was well over 30%.
Yeah. Jesus, so,
I mean, there's just, for that type of operation where you have to make everything, and we didn't want to compromise. Yeah. I think that's, we could have bought bread. You know, we could have done those things that maybe cut some people out, but that's just, you know, that's just not what deli is. It's and I don't think it's worth compromising.
I think, and I want to wrap this up with just doing a little bit of math because I've this weekend I was at Black Raven. I did a the Men's Room Live like broadcast, and they were doing the Black Raven Men's Room IPA release, and did the East Side and met a Dave. Do you know we have a shit ton of fans out there?
I'm starting to learn that.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Wonderful meeting so many of you this weekend. But some, you know, and a lot of them are cooks, and a lot of people were just like, I know nothing about like the back end of a restaurant. Like this is all fascinating to me. So I think this is a good valuable wrestling. So what was kind of the breakdown? Like percentage wise, you said about 30. What was the labor?
I mean, it was probably 34.
Yeah,
and it's then, high.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then you said what was rent for that? That was like,
you know, well,
it was supposed to be.
It's supposed to be under 10 or under. That's the goal,
right?
But obviously, you know, not at that point,
right?
You know, and then, so it was probably more like 12 at that point,
right? And then food cost coming in, you said 26?
Just say 27.
Yeah, 27.
Yeah.
And then what's all the other stuff that we're not thinking about?
Overhead.
The overhead.
Yeah.
Cost of goods.
Yeah. Yeah.
That wonderful overhead number.
Yeah. Like, there's, you have your food costs, but then you got all the packaging and all that shit. You know, like, it's just like, oh, something breaks, you know, like the cost of the dishwasher that you're renting and
the toilet breaks. And
You know, and like, okay, is your crew cleaning the entire kitchen and the restaurant, or are you hiring a cleaning crew once a week to come in? Like, you know, like there's all these, is that what's worth more, like paying the cleaning crew or paying your actual crew? You know, so like figuring that shit out.
Hugo, how do you make the numbers work?
I mean, I don't have such a high overhead. Like, I mean, my rent is $2,000.
Yeah. That's,
you know what I'm saying?
That's
dude?
Amazing.
So,
yeah.
I'm moving over it.
Yeah, so it's just like I don't have so much of overhead.
Yeah, yeah,
I think the most is my crew. I do have a big crew. I have like nine people.
Nine people, yeah.
You know, so I have like my prep team that comes at 5 a.m. to, because we do everything fresh. Yeah. Nothing is like, you know, in the fridge. No, everything, we have to do it fresh, you know, because with food like
that. You probably
don't
have the room to not do it.
We don't
fresh.
Have the, exactly. I think that's the other thing too. We don't have the room for it, man, you know? I mean,
which is a great thing.
How often do you sell out?
We sell out almost every Friday and Saturday. We're almost
every out. Friday and Saturday to this day. Like still,
there's days that you know it's still a little bit. Yeah, you know, but it's almost like everything is almost gone, man.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, so it's been really good, and then we've been getting a lot of we got a write up recently in the Seattle Times, and that helped out even more, man. That made it busy.
You see, you know, I don't know. Like, I feel like you might have been like one of my first experience with the birria, but you've seen it pop up more and more.
Oh,
what do you think makes you guys so special? Because like every time I talk about birria, everyone brings you guys up as like, you know, one of the founders. Or not I won't say founders. Like, you know, but you were one of the first guys, and like everyone loves you. Every chef, like, you know, and you're in Everett, and you're making such an impact in Seattle. What is your secret? Like, what is the secret of your birria?
I don't know. Yeah. This is the honest truth, man.
He's like, I'm not telling you, man.
I don't know, man. You know, I like I say, I come from L.A. You know what I'm saying? I lived in LA all my life. I moved here in 2012.
What part?
I'm from Torrance. Okay, South Bay area, kind of Long Beach, Wilmington, all that, man. So when I moved here, this place was a culture shock for me. Yeah. Man. I was like, what the hell, dude?
Why'd you have to move here? Or why'd you move here?
Life. Yeah, my family was like, let's try something new. Let's go somewhere else. We had a friend here, and then they were like, just try it out.
Yeah.
So we moved here, and then, I lived in Everett the whole time, you know? Yeah. So over there, I couldn't find really good Mexican stuff, man. Yeah. And I really missed the street food, you know? And Everett doesn't have that, man. Yeah. So it was very, very hard for me in many ways, you know? So and my wife moved here from Arizona. Okay. She's from Glendale. So she had the same thing where, you know, there's people walking in the streets with carts, tamale carts and all that stuff. I'm like, what if we just start something like that, you know? And
did you have any food experience before that?
None.
What'd you do here?
I did a delivery driver for FedEx, I did hotels.
You're like,
it's all customer service, man. That was really my main thing, man. You know, and
I mean, you just made shit happen, man. Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, it's kind of weird, dude. So my whole family moved here, and each of my brothers have their own business. My brother has a tow truck business. The other one works for. He has a contract roadside assistance with AAA. Mm-hmm. And then my older brother just moved here and he's starting a catering business,
man. Oh, nice.
So it's
entrepreneurs.
I mean, we didn't start like that. Yeah. You know, like, but it's Washington, I feel like, has the opportunity for you to do that stuff, man.
Totally.
You know, and I think that's what changed. I saw them and then my wife started her own salon business and I was like, what the hell? They're doing their own business.
Yeah.
Let me start something out.
Yeah.
You know, so then I started doing screen printing.
Okay.
So I started doing shirts.
Yeah.
So we did like this.
Where's our shirts, man?
I know. And I have some. I'll bring you guys the next one. But we started doing like Star Wars, but instead of Star Wars, it was Star Wars. So kind of like Spanish stuff. Yeah. And a lot of like characters were like kind of like cholo based. You know?
That's awesome.
It was a lot of like trying to share the culture because I came here and a lot of people didn't know like the Mexicans didn't really know a lot about their culture. It was kind of weird, man. So then I was like, wait, let me try to sell Seattle. Yeah. I would do pop-ups here.
Yeah.
Amazing.
How'd you find places to go?
There was this place called a Colectiva, which is like a collective of vendors, of Latino vendors and stuff like that.
Nice.
And they would invite me here in Seattle. And man, dude, I would sell out. It was awesome, man. I was doing almost like $1,000 just selling shirts.
In one
day, dude. I was like, what the heck?
That's great.
And then, but in Everett, it sucked.
Yeah.
But I get it, you know, because a lot of people were like, is that offensive? I'm like, dude, it's just funny, you know?
Yeah.
So I just kind of like, I was like, okay, like, what else can we do? And I would always tell my wife, like, wait, dude, what if we just do like a hot dog stand?
Yeah.
You know, like, we could just do it. There's breweries, there's bars. Yeah. LA, you see that every corner. And I feel like now in Seattle, you're seeing it every corner.
Yeah, the bacon wrapped hot dogs. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. So I was like, dude, what if we just start a hot dog? She's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, let me think about something else. And then I was like, what if we do tamales? And then that's where the idea kind of, she's like, okay, I'll give you a week.
Yeah.
Test it out.
Yeah.
If you do some good tamales, then I'm down with
it. All right.
You know? And so, dude, I had a week and I would tell my mom, okay, like, what do you do? Like, you know? So it was all home cooking, to be honest with you. So then it just kind of started from that. She's like, whoa, this is awesome.
How did you learn how to ramp up, like how to go from like home cook to like doing XYZ orders off the cart?
You just
figured it out?
Yeah, dude. It's just going with it, man.
That's amazing.
And that's the thing that is just kind of
that's
like
a hard skill to learn. Because like, I know a lot of home cooks that can't do what we do because like it's scaling up's a tough thing. And
it is, dude.
You know,
even now with the restaurant, it sometimes it's hard. We're trying to like figure out the numbers and stuff like that. But I feel like we have such a good team now that they're like, okay, like this is like I don't even go in the kitchen no more.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
And I mean, it's awesome, but it sucks. So I miss it. You know, I miss being able to cook and stuff like that. So. Like now I'm starting like a new kind of side business. Since my restaurant only closes on Sundays, Mondays, I want to open it on Sundays just to do like a special pop-up.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Doing like smash burgers.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Why not?
Dude. And they don't have smash burgers here.
Every goddamn corner. Yeah. Smash burgers.
Yeah. It's insane.
So you're gonna do a pop-up on Sundays?
On Sundays.
Do you have a name for it?
So it's called La Smash Burger, but it's L.A.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Nice. Cool.
So we're doing that. And
you've done some recipe testing and.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah. So I've been going to almost every pop-up. I mean, I went to Berg's. I went to, you know, trying to test out just to see how they did it. Because, I mean, in L.A., dude, like, They have easy street burgers, which is like insane, man. And so we've been kind of going everywhere trying to test out stuff and just trying to bring something different here.
Cool.
So,
and what do you think the timing is going to be like on that when you start doing that?
I think I'm just going to do like 4 to 8, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sunday's just.
Because you just can't stop working. You can't just take your Sunday off.
You know, it's funny because my wife tells me, like, dude, chill out. I'm like, let me just try something, you know?
Why not?
But it all starts like that, just testing out stuff, man. Yeah. So
I love your spirit. Johnny, now I guess you might have missed cooking when you're doing the deli a little bit, and now you get to cook again. Were you cooking
shitload? That was the problem.
You were
I was just in on the working the line on on Sundays, like just do it. Like you're just in it because there's a lot of technical stuff that if it gets fucked up, it's not like we'll just go get some more pastrami. It's like, no, this shit takes 6 days.
Yeah.
So, if you're not trained on it, you can mess it up or the lot. Like, so that was the problem is it was just like trying to find a crew that could like give a shit to like oversee this stuff that takes a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your current job. What's going on at the pantry?
So I'm kind of like an independent contractor with them. I'm basically running through the greatest hits of the deli world, building classes. I've done the pastrami class, bagels and lox, did a Hanukkah. I got a pretty sweet Passover, like the food of Passover dinner coming up in April, which is nice.
I'm sorry, these are classes or they're
so combination. So all those are classes, but except for the Passover thing, which is actually they do dinners there as well besides classes.
Yeah, we had Neil on, but let's just walk through the whole thing for people that don't understand how the
it's
works.
It's a really, really well run company with like really great people, and they have super talented people. A lot of people like me who just reached a certain point in the restaurant business and were just like, I don't think I can do it like this anymore, but I still want to be a part of it. And so, I think they do 80 classes a month, and it's great. Wow. It's crazy, like. They're all different, and so like the ordering, I can't even imagine like the brain, like they're so far ahead. You got to build these classes like months ahead, and so they do 80 classes a month, 2 to 4 classes a day, and then they have like 2 or 3 dinners a month where it's like they open the whole room and it's 40 people,
got it,
and we just they just cook, whoever the chefs are just cook for people. There's no interaction. Just like, hey, come in and eat and drink and have a good time.
And for people that want to take these classes, how many people are in the class?
So the classes I'm doing right now are 12, but they also have 16. Cool. They have kids classes. They have like sleepaway stuff, like on, I don't know.
And we should say, where is the pantry located?
It's right behind Delancey. It's on like, I think it's like 70th and like 14th.
And in Ballard. How much are the classes?
They're a little pricey. They're $140 a person.
For how?
That's not too pricey.
That's not pricey.
Yeah. No, I mean, okay. Yeah, it's not too. I guess if you go out to dinner.
Don't speak for
yourself,
bro.
I mean, look,
a treat. I would say,
look
like.
Who's teaching them.
Yeah,
like.
No, you're getting. It's not. I would just say you're getting like people who know what they're doing.
Right.
So if you are somebody who likes to cook at home or is just interested, it's really worth it because it's, you're in it. You're making the food. I mean, like if you're not. It cook, like hands up, like using a knife, like doing stuff. You're not eating that.
Right.
Like you're the ones making the food.
It's $140 to not eat. So.
Yeah, seriously.
I always have my eyes on classes like Beast and Cleaver offer, butchery classes, pate and crude. And so I mean, for what going rate of learning something you've never
learn
done.
Learn new skills.
And you're getting
I can tell you how much I spent in culinary school.
Yeah.
That was $140.
You're getting a full recipe packet, like intricate recipe. You're getting like it's not like you just show up and then you go home and you're like, oh, I hope I can remember how to do this. Like, you're getting like a full packet with like recommendations for books and restaurants and so it's a full experience.
Cool.
Yeah.
And what's the next one you're doing?
I'm building like it's Jewish bread, so it's like babka and challah and knish and rye bread. So, and then I might take a month off. I don't know after that. So
do it.
So it's just a pain in the ass to build these things. Like it's not my, it's not like the way I usually operate. So like sitting in front of the computer and typing out recipes and converting them from all my recipes from grams to cups. That is the real thing.
Why are you doing that?
Well, that's what they, you know, like all of our recipes are in grams because you know that's the way we were trained. And it's just way more accurate. And but like for a lot of home cooks, you know, they don't have a scale. So, you know, you have to like convert it to tablespoons and cups. And
maybe raise it from 150 to 175 and give them a scale.
You know, when you're not in charge anymore and they're telling you what you need to do, you kind of have to do it.
True.
Dave, eat anywhere fun this week? Did you get any chances to eat anywhere?
Yeah. After the podcast last week, I... Do you know who Nathan, the third owner of Great State Burger, is? He bought it off Renee Erickson and.
I didn't realize they sold.
Yeah, he invited me down to the original location that it opened back in the day, and sat.
Where's the original location?
It's on 7th, right next to the Amazon Spheres, and.
The balls.
Yeah, man, Great State's doing really good, and it was really nice to sit in that space and. Eat some old items and the old state sauce, and also eat some new items that have been incorporated and just catch.
Do they live up to the Dave's standards?
Yeah. It's still like the same state sauce that we created and same fries. Like, yeah, a lot of the old standards are still working. And, you know, there's some newer, better things put in place. And just congrats to the whole company because it seems like it's doing great.
You know, it's...
No pun.
I'm not... You know, I don't know. I wouldn't say like a chain restaurant's my dream at all. Maybe it is for Coteau, but like not a burger place. But like, it's so cool to see like something that like, you know, like even with Skillet, like, yeah, I have a lot of animosity towards, you know, them for, you know, a lot of things. But at the same time, it is fucking really cool when like you see Skillet in a place like the airport or whatever, when you think about like what me and Josh and you were doing.
Totally, back,
like,
man.
Fucking like, crazy how it's evolved. So I have a little bit of pride, you know, to be like, cool, like, you know.
It's nice to see places like, you know, we incorporated Washington State beef from the get-go. That was part of the name, Great State. Right. All the ingredients should be gotten from this state. Now they're using the same beef that I use at Buckshot Honey, the Pure Country.
Oh, yeah.
So it's nice to see them holding true to the original message and doing even better than, you know.
Right.
I have a question. Since you guys talk about Skillet, is that really the first food truck here?
I mean, it was like one of the first food trucks like in America. Like, I'm bad at dates. Like, when do you think it started? I don't know. It was a very punk rock time. I'll tell you. I mean, so that was a trailer back then.
It was in 1974. For like Airstream trailer. It had a charbroiler, which is kind of weird to think about because I never saw a charbroiler in a truck again.
Yeah.
It had 6 burners and 2 fryers. Yeah. Like there was a lot of heat in that Airstream.
When that hood didn't work. But there would be times. So like there was no rules about street food. Street food wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
But like it was wildly popular. So there'd be times like we'd go set up. We have a huge line. We see cops in line. They'd order food and then like shut us down. Like it was crazy shit like that. And then like and here's something
and
cool.
The locations were being announced on Twitter.
Yeah.
So the authorities didn't know where Skillet was gonna be.
And we had a lot. I mean, sometimes it'd just be a day off, and we're going to get propane and gas, and people would follow us like to the gas station. Like, where are you guys setting up? It was just a different.
Because
like,
it was a secret.
Honestly, like coming from like the music world, like it was a very rock star thing. Like,
totally. And if you go to the, did you know this, Sid?
I think I know
the
what
museum.
Yeah,
the industrial museum is their first like health code check
violation or
violation. Yeah, because it was the first time that it ever happened in King County, and so they hung it up as a
that's fucking cool. Really cool.
And then you know years later one day I'm like, how many food trucks are there in Seattle now? And somebody was like 700.
So it was a really cool experience, and you know, I remember when I moved here, I talked about this a lot. I worked at a fine dining restaurant, and I worked for Josh. And I remember Josh was like, one day you're going to like this a lot more. I'm like, no way, dude. I'm a restaurant guy. And fucking 17 years later, I'm still running a cart every day.
Still trying to wrangle Sid.
All right, Hugo. So it is your time to let Everett shine? What is the what are the places to eat in Everett? I know you have a lot of friends.
No pressure, man.
You know, actually, Everett is growing to, like, there's a lot of new restaurants coming up, man. There's actually a new food truck that I really enjoyed, and it's kind of like a bistro Mexican spot. It's pretty interesting, man. Okay. They're called La Luna Family Bistro, man. Okay. And I think that's the first, I'm going to be honest, I don't go out to eat right now just because I'm like on this healthy run.
Okay, yeah.
So
you do look great.
Thank you. Yeah, man. I've been trying to lose weight now. Yeah. So
I get it.
So I haven't really gone out, man. But that's the first truck that I went to go try right now. But I mean, if you want coffee, there's Narrative Coffee, man. Burgers, there's Ray, Mikey's, you know. Like there's a lot of good spots out there, man.
Cause, I mean, outside, because like I love Everett. I love going up there. Okay, I don't know if I should say. Okay, when I moved to Seattle, like, everyone's like, oh, like, don't go to Everett. That's where all the meth heads are, whatever. Like, and then, but now the meth heads are anywhere. Anyway, yeah.
What's funny is when I moved to Seattle, everyone was like, you should check out Everett.
But so for, you know, there's a lot of transplants here that might be listening. Like, if they've never been up to Everett, give us like a perfect Everett day. Like, what are you doing? Oh, what are the kids things to do?
Man,
what
I love tacos. Even though I make tacos, like, I'll go to a spot and grab tacos. And there's a place called La Sabrosa, which is a couple blocks from us, which is this yellow hut. And I feel like they sell the best, like, al pastor tacos. Mm. I really enjoy it, you know? And for me, it's just, you know, I'll go grab tacos and horchata and then just go to the restaurant.
I love that.
And then it's just kind of, you know, and I live really close by to the restaurant, man. So, like, I'm not really traveling a lot, you know? So, it's just mostly there. I go there or I'll go grab coffee at Narrative, man. Yeah. And, I mean, that's one of, I think that's everyone's favorite coffee spot right now, you know? But we grab pho as well, too.
Yeah.
Downtown Everett, there's a pho place that I love to go and. Those are the only two meals that I really used to grab, man. So
you ever take the kids over to Funko?
Solid choices, man.
Yeah.
You ever take the kids to Funko over there?
We don't. Okay. No, my kids are insane, man. So I have a 6-year-old that you know that is just he would.
You guys gotta get the kids together, man.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, for those that don't know, Funko, those little pop toys. I've been a fan of them since they had another location in Linwood, and I've been a huge fan of them for a while.
They actually started in Everett.
Oh, they started Everett, and then they
kind of moved, but they started right there on Colby Street.
Yeah. And it's almost like the skillet thing where it's just a really cool thing to see globally explode. Like I moved here and like, I remember I just emailed them like, hey, do you guys do tours? And like they did. And it was like four of us. And we just walked through their office, like this really tiny place. I think it was in Linwood. And then fast forward to, when do you think that place opened, the Everett location?
Dude, like, I don't know. It's like 90s, I think, or something.
No.
Oh, this new one?
The new one, yeah.
Actually,
less than 10 years ago. But the cool thing is they invited Brent Circus to do the opening. So, like, I gotta be part of the grand opening of the Funko thing. Like, Kevin Smith was there. Like, it was a fucking really dope thing. And, you know, like I said, like, I sold most of my toys to buy the food cart, so I don't have a lot of my pops. I have still have a couple of them, but... Regardless, really fun place to take the kids, even if you're not a big toy collector. Like, it's a huge place. They have every, like, different kind of rooms, like Star Wars and Harry Potter.
That's amazing that you sold toys to start your business.
Right? Yeah.
we should get into that a little bit more one day.
Hey, but the Kids Museum is another good spot, too, man. Yeah. Yeah, for kids and stuff like that. Yep. So, our kids is mostly, there's a park called the... Forest Park.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they have, like, a water park there. It's amazing, man. So... I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff to do in Everett. It's funny because they say it's a large city, but to me, I see it small, man.
Yeah.
I mean, compared to LA,
right?
Yeah, man. So, but yeah, there's a lot of good spots out there. There's actually this new Asian spot called Frying Lemon.
Frying Lemon?
Yeah, I haven't tried them yet, man. But
it's I love that name, Frying Lemon.
And it's like all original. Like Chinese cuisine.
Dude. Oh, cool.
Like, it's insane, man. That. So, yeah. So.
I want to find out what the story behind that name is. Frying
I'm
lemon.
I'm going to get Chinese right after this.
Johnny.
Yes.
What are your spots?
Well, as somebody who also has a young family, I don't venture out a ton, except for the area. Like, if I'm, you know, I've been vibing for lunch lately around here. It opened pretty recently, is the Shawarma Prince. They kind of, on 15th.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They took over the subway spot there. Oh, man.
They're open late. They're open to like 2:15 or something.
Yeah. I, you know, I the wife gets the falafel, I get the lamb beef. Oh, it's
fantastic. But yeah,
I will say, wife and I went out for our anniversary last week to Sushi Suzuki.
Yeah.
It restored my faith in like all things like fine dining and just like experience. Just the food was, I got emotional like when eating food. As somebody used to go to Shiro's, you know, 16, 15 years ago, and to see kind of an apprentice there get their own spot and work their way and now have this beautiful omakase experience where all the it blew my fucking mind.
Yeah. What an awesome story.
Yeah, it did. Like I was just, I've been in a bit of a rut and being like, you know, I haven't gone out to eat and just been wowed in so long. And gone to places that, you know, have these reputations as wowing you. And I'm just like, you know what? That was good, but it's not like, it's not necessarily the best restaurant in the country or maybe not even the best restaurant in the city. But this place, like, fuck, man, 20 courses, like... Now it is not cheap. Like
what was 20 courses?
Well, so it's 180. If you're sitting at the bar, it's $180 just to like just for the food, right?
You have a weird like $180 for 20 courses.
Well, it's 20 pieces of fish. It's not like 20. It's not 20. I mean,
36 courses was like $400.
No, I know, but like and some I'm of just that saying, was music. Like, you know, you're not going to go out there once a week or once a month. But like, if you're looking to splurge and like. You know, if I'm looking to splurge, I want it to be worth it.
Yeah.
And not just totally. The food. Like, first, my wife, we sat down. She's left-handed, okay? Yeah. So we sit down. They put a little piece, like, their beautiful, like, homemade ginger in front of you. They got the chopsticks. She picks up her chopsticks, eat one piece of ginger, puts the chopsticks down. After that, every piece of sushi, the wine, everything was put in front of her left hand.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, innate. And it's just those small things as somebody who loves restaurants and loves everything about it from the back of the house, front of the house, to see that and just like, fuck, there are still people.
They're paying attention.
Who are paying attention and give a shit and really love from like, doesn't matter the price point, but like to see that and then the food to just like absolutely just like blow your fucking mind. It was just, it was restorative for sure. So I was like kind of emotional eating it. Yeah.
Do you have any other dining experiences like that in Seattle? Like, you know, from the last 20 years where that like really blew you away?
Oh man.
Because I agree with you. I'll let you think about it for a second. Cause like, you know, we've had this conversation. A lot of people are like kind of, I don't want to say against fine dining, just haven't been wowed in a while.
So
and,
I used for a long time, I lived in Queen Anne and, the Mescaleria, on top of Queen Anne. That place, we used to go there, you know, late night. They used to be open till like midnight on the weekends. Yep. And just sit down and have mezcal and their mole and just like I'm from Arizona. I grew up in the Phoenix area. Yep. So the same way I think to get these flavors that you don't necessarily have gotten in Washington and to have them be right there. Like that was really spectacular. Like the first time I went to like when How to Cook a Wolf just first opened and just like their chicken liver pate, just like these small things, you know, I think it's like this idea of like things just get overhyped now. And so you go in with this mentality that it's going to be something special and then it's just not, you know, it's just, it's good, but it's like I said, it's not and what people also, necessarily
I mean,
are saying. About
you know, like when you've been in the industry so long, like, and I make it, I don't want to say like I love eating. Obviously, that's why we do the podcast. That's why I like to eat so much. But you know, at some point, it is a little bit like a job. And you know, when you hit every single new place, you know, it does become a little like, you know, you look out for those special things.
You got anything that's worth like
Off Alley is like my number one right now.
Okay,
for wow factor.
Okay,
because
I'm looking. And I, you know, I maybe get one a month. So
have you hit a Hamdi yet?
I have not.
I was going to ask you guys about that place. How's that place?
Sorry. I'm just laughing because of the story we talked about.
You know, I have mixed emotions.
I'll say this. Hamdi, like Off Alley and Hamdi probably like, they're doing something like, they come from such a different degree than like me and Dave do. Like they're coming from the top and like it shows, you know, those kind of things. So yeah. Fuck it, let's talk about it. So,
no.
Let's not talk about
We're
it.
We're not going to talk about it. Okay. I'm not in, I don't, you
let's,
know.
Yeah, yeah, I gotcha. let's see.
I'll just say, I have mixed emotions.
Fair enough. Yeah. Let's see, where did I eat this week? A lot of burgers. Red Mill. I did Ounces in West Seattle. and went next door to the Skylark. You ever been there, Skylark Cafe?
Yeah, back in the day. Did they used to have live music there?
So I remember I get set up at Ounces, and I'm just like, I can't go anywhere. And like, so I go there, and like, I didn't know much about it, and I didn't really look it up. I'm like, I got to eat something. I'm assuming they have food. I walk in, and yeah, it's like, you know, kind of like a nightclub vibe. Like, it's dark. It's like, you know, this is 1 o'clock, but it's like, oh, dark in there. And I'm like, man, like, I do not want like a punk rock experience right now. Like, and I walk in, and like, they're the most wonderful. It's like a family owned, like, everyone at the bar, like, was, you know, just owners. Everyone's just, like, I didn't ask them, but like, you can tell everyone was family, like, brothers and sisters.
That's
and
cool.
And I had a chicken fried steak, and like, I know it gets tiring. People are like, oh, like, I want just like classics done really well done, you know, like, but like, that's what it was. It's just like, it's almost like if like Candace made a chicken fried steak dinner, like, that's how good it would taste. Nice. It was just fucking really bomb. I you know, I always joke about how I try to go new places to talk about, but I'm just so hooked on the goddamn smoke shop right now.
Yeah, I know. You're always there. But that makes me want to go there and check it out.
It's again, just doing, it's just done very well. And classics, the price points. Well done. Price point, like, you know, every time I go there, we order 4 or 5 things, and it's, I always think, like, oh, they're just, are they giving me a huge discount? No, just, well, one, when you don't drink, it's like, your bill's
yeah,
cheaper.
It helps.
It's like, but it's always like 25, 28 bucks for, like, me and Ariana to eat our fucking faces off, and they're doing something, you know, like, collard greens are just fucking perfect, like, you know, and, you know, mac and cheese is perfect, but then, you know, I got Juicy Lucy, and, like, yeah. Love the smoke shop.
Do they do a proper Juicy Lucy?
They do a proper.
And I haven't seen a proper Juicy Lucy in a long time.
don't say it that way. Oh, I want to give a shout out. If you're driving on Holman and what is that, 105th, I you know, that's where the weed shops are, and that's where my gym is, and like, I always drive by this ice cream store that has all these, like, you know, it has the wavy guy, and it's like that open, and they have like three parking spots. It's like right off 105. It's like really hard to turn in there, and I always wanted to support it, and but, you know, like, it's such a weird turn that, like, so anyway, I had the kids. I'm like, let's go get ice cream. Like, oh, let's go so and so. I'm like, no, fuck that. Let's go support these guys. And like, it's called Malak's Ice Cream, Malak, and just a wonderful family owned like little ice cream shop and a little cafe. I think called Millionaire Cafe next door. Same owners. And yeah, just want to give a little shout out because it was a really cute little tiny space. They had a free like little Sunday bar where you can like, yeah. So you know, go support some guys. Let's
hey,
see.
Sid.
Yeah.
Do you know where I'm eating tonight?
Where?
Nermals, man. You remember Oscar?
That's right. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm super excited.
So that dinner here, that was tonight for Heather's birthday. That's right.
Yeah, it's a thousand-year-old recipes.
Yeah. I hope everything's labeled properly.
I'm super excited. I did want to do kind of a sad shout out. Seattle lost a good one this week. Mateo from, when I worked there with CenturyLink, which is now Lumen Field Seahawks Stadium, he passed away this week, and the staff there is devastated. And he was a super bright point and a super talented chef. And I just wanted to say, you know, I'm sorry to the stadium family and just his family too.
He obviously had a big impact because, like, I've been seeing it, you know, posted a lot, and I didn't personally know him, but I've seen him a lot. And
you've been in stadiums and the chaos, he was just one of those guys you see him walking down the corridor with a big smile on his face, and you knew everything was going to be okay.
Cool. All right, before we get out of here, Hugo, you got the burger pop-up coming up on Saturdays. What else is going
on? Sundays.
Sundays. Yeah. What else is going on? Anything else you want to plug?
Man, just that right now, man.
Do you have any dreams for a second location? You want to get that cart back?
I'm thinking of buying a food truck, man. Yeah.
Johnny's face. It all comes full circle.
Yeah.
All right, so what are you thinking?
That's my goal right now, man. My goal is to get a couple food trucks. And I mean, I want to come up to Seattle, man.
Yeah.
My goal is to come up here right now.
Come on, man.
So I'm trying
We need your beer, yeah.
You know, there's a guy up by me that rents food trucks.
I know. I know who you're talking about.
He's
too,
a cool
man.
Guy.
Yeah, yeah. He has a restaurant too, right?
He owns like Rio Bravo. Rio Bavito. And
that's like another good business too, man.
Oh, totally, man. Love their food. Love him. I have no idea what the numbers are like renting a food truck.
They're expensive, man.
Yeah, I assume so.
I love that. Like, if I could cart to restaurant to like my dream is to own a food truck.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, not one, a couple of them, yeah, man. Yeah.
Oh
so.
Shit.
I mean, so, yeah,
a fleet.
In all honesty, restaurant there is an overhead. Food trucks, there's not that much overhead, man. So
yeah,
so
just, it's just repairs.
Exactly, just repairs, man. But that's my goal right now. My goal is to see if. Just get a couple food trucks, send them out different spots, man.
Have you opened a food truck before or owned a food
truck? Not a food truck. I owned a food trailer. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, but like, that was a truck. Like, it was like one of the ones where it's like,
well, what I was going to say is there's a lot of between Washington State, Illinois, and all that shit.
Yeah, there's a lot.
If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to Sid or, you know.
I don't have Illinois in my cart. I don't know. Anything.
Well, no.
Do I look like a paperwork guy to you?
Do you remember when I bought the Great State food truck? Yeah. And I was hitting you up and your ex partner a lot because I just had a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
yeah.
If you ever have those questions, we might have some answers or at least know people who. Know
actually, I'll say this for anyone that's trying to start a food truck business or whatever, like. If I can take a phone call, I will. If you have any questions, this whole podcast is about supporting each other. So, yeah, if you're trying to start something, I love consulting and helping people out.
We've been through it.
And I will say, as somebody who started a food truck, Sid was very, very helpful when we first opened.
Thank you, brother.
Helping us with locations and, yeah. I mean, it was a much smaller community back then.
Totally.
I mean,
but it's still that vibe.
2014.
Yeah, that vibe is still alive. So I mean, for sure. Like, we wouldn't have ended up kind of growing and being as successful, I think, without the help of people like Sid when we first started.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. What else you want to plug? You got when are these dinners going on?
Yeah,
sale?
So I think it's April 27th. Passover, celebrating the food of Passover at the pantry. I think there's still like 20 some tickets left. So like kind of some classics, matzo ball soup, but then some twists on stuff. Like we're doing like gefilte fish croquettes and we're doing lamb. What are we doing? Shit. schnitzel, which should be super fucking rad with like morels and English peas. And so it's going to be super yummy. And then I think the bagels and lox classes are super popular. So they actually sell out pretty quick. But Jewish breads. In June at the pantry as well.
Sweet. Nice. Dave, any plugs? Any specials coming up?
I'm going to roast a bunch of rabbit for Easter.
No, oh, cool.
No, I'm joking. No, but I might.
So that got me excited. Yeah, I know, right? I was like, what?
No. I don't know. We used to have this sandwich called Day on the Green, and it had this wonderful ham and collard greens and bechamel and Havarti cheese and apple butter all served on a brioche. And so instead of doing a traditional ham sale, so I think I might bring back this old school Day on the Green sandwich, which a lot of old school customers of mine have been asking me to bring back. I took it off the menu just because it wasn't like the best seller, but I think it'd be fun to bring it back for a holiday or something.
Fuck yeah. I think I have one ticket left for the bear still.
Oh, dude, I was sitting on my couch the other night with the little shopping cart open. Yeah. I was like, I should buy this. And then I was like, fuck, man, I don't know.
Do you have to work?
I work Sundays.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, you know, we sold 40 on the first day, like 20 the next day, then like 19. And then
what happened to Meg?
I know I was going to ask because I was just listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
you're like, life. I have one
and
ticket
so
left.
She can't make it. And so whatever. It's fine. We're going to go on the news.
Somebody
anyway.
Please buy this
please
one ticket.
Please buy this ticket. I don't check anymore because I called it a sellout. I called it a sellout and I'm saying this is a return because I have a huge ego problem. let's see. Hey, Wednesday, if you're going to the Ballard Football Club opener, I'll be there serving kutu on Wednesday.
Is that football or football?
It's soccer. I don't know. I don't know if I've ever talked about this. I don't know anything about the rules of soccer. I don't think I've ever watched a game. But the Ballard FCC games are one of the best vibes in the city. If you don't know, like, it's just fucking everyone's in a good mood. Like, people that like soccer are just
different. Are you worried about them moving away from the small stadium that they were down, kind of like now they're at the Memorial?
I guess I haven't been paying that much attention.
Yeah, they were kind of like down in Interbank.
Yeah,
and they had that sweet like beer garden.
Yeah.
But now they're bigger, so they're moving to Memorial Stadium.
Oh, I guess I should look at my load-in sheet because I would have ended up in Interbank.
Yeah, man.
I thought the place in Interbank was called Memorial Stadium. And thank you, Johnny. Thank you
Memorial Stadium is where all the kids graduate high school over by the Seattle Center.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, fuck, that's going to be a slaughter. Okay.
I saw Wu-Tang there.
Oh, that's right. Cool. Let's see. So yeah, come see me on Wednesday. I don't know. I think that's about it. Dave, anything else?
No, man. Thanks for a great week, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Get outside. Enjoy the sun. Guys, I love this. What a great episode. Food truck to restaurant to food trucks. I love it. All right, guys. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next time on
the
restaurant
podcast.
Seattle.
The Seattle restaurant podcast.
Later, guys. Bye.